Hebrews 11. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 23. You know, I kid around a lot about Brother Allie here. We kind of tease with each other, and I was thinking about him this week, and my mind went immediately to Moses. And you know, he tells me sometimes, Brother Allie will tell me sometimes, say he'll come up to him and he'll say, Brother Ross, he said, now I'm going on, me and Beulah's going on vacation next week. Now it'll be all right if I use my tithes and offerings on my vacation. You know what the wonderful part about that is? I know he's kidding me. He wouldn't do that for anything in the world, and I know that. But I appreciate him. But we are going to preach about Moses this morning. Verse 23, let's begin to read. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness and your wonderful grace. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of preaching. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And Father, I ask you, please, to help us this morning in these services to honor you. And Lord, to lift your name up. And Lord, and through this message, that we just might be blessed and it'll help us in some areas that we need to be helped in. Now, Father, if there's any here without Christ, I pray for their salvation, and Lord, for we as Christians to be strengthened in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, I'm going to let you see something that you very seldom ever get to see. We have ministries that go on while this service is going on. We have children's churches, two of them, and we have nursery, and most of the time you never get to see any of them. You think this is all's here. And so what I want you to do, and I want you to carefully look at them, because the reason I'm going to bring them through is I want you to look at them. I want you to see them, and I want you to see how important these young people are, and it's going to make a difference what happens to them not only here, but in their homes and throughout the rest of their life, and what they're going to do for God Almighty. I want you to look. This is our oldest children's church. Brother John Reiser handles that for us, him and his wife and other helpers. And this is the crew that he works with every week. And we're proud of you. Thanks, Brother John. I appreciate you so much. And look at these fine young people coming through here. Amen. Isn't that great? Oh, I'm telling you. That's all right. Come right on. Right out this way. There you go. There you go. Isn't this something? All right. Now we have the other crew. Amen? No, we don't have them yet, do we? There we are. Okay. Come on. Just keep it going and keep it. That's all right. Take your time down them steps, okay? That's all right. All right. This is the oldest group. Isn't that a bunch? He deals with them every week. Now we have Sister Stephanie coming in behind, and we've already mentioned Brother John and his wife Terry Handel and some of these others that are helping. Thank you so much. And this is Sister Stephanie that is coming and bringing some of hers that she works with. One of them we lost. All right, just come right on. That's all right. That's it. Just take your time. We've got people stationed on the stairs down there to help these little ones down the stairs. so they won't fall. Now, are you getting a good look at this? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this a blessing? And this is the nursery. Amen. This is our nursery. Look at this precious. Amen. Oh, that's right. Zachary and Austin. Amen. Good to have you. All right. I'm getting a wave there. We're a blessed church. And like I say, a lot of times, folk don't even realize that's going on. But every single week, this ministry goes on. And we're very thankful for those who help. And I just wanted you as a church to see the future of America. And I want you to see the future of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I realize it's not just those. Much of the future also is setting out here from the fifth grade on up, unless they are with their parents because they wish them to be. Fifth grade on up comes and sets in our services. So we're very grateful. And you're looking at the future. So what we do with them and how we train them, how we prepare them for the future, for their leadership, for what they're going to be doing, is very, very important. Amen? You see, we do need to realize something. We need to understand that these children are lent to us by the Lord to raise for Him. And we need to realize that. We need to understand that truth. And so this morning we're going to preach a message, how to raise your children to walk with God. And we're going to look at the life of Moses and his parents just for a little while, but what developed out of what his parents taught him early years and what developed in Moses' life to cause him to be the man that he was. And we're going to look at that this morning. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 23rd verse, says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." You understand the story of Moses. Of course, Pharaoh's daughter, at that time, during that time in history, they was killing all the newborn baby boys, and Pharaoh was having them slaughtered. So instead of that, the parents hid him in a little ark out in the bulrushes. And because of that, there come Pharaoh's daughter down through there and heard the crying. You know the story. Heard the crying. Had someone get the baby. And immediately here was the daughter of Moses' parents. And said, "Can I get someone to nurse this child for you, to raise this child for Pharaoh's daughter?" Said, "Yes." He went and got Moses' own mother. And so this child, Moses, went back to his own home, raised by his mother and father, at least till he was weaned up a few years, was raised by his mother and father. In that short period of time, they put some things in Moses that absolutely made a difference for the rest of his life. It determined the direction of his life and what he would be when he became older and was used of God. Now, the reason I'm stressing this is simply this, folks. I want you to understand, and for me to understand, these little sweet children that we just saw are certain part our responsibility as far as on Sunday is concerned to help them to be trained for the glory of God, to be used by God. But basically, when it comes down to it, we understand a principle. The ones who are truly going to train them is going to be the parents and get them ready. We won't take the credit for your successes. All we are going to do is say, "Thank you for letting us help you." And basically, that's what it is. You give us the privilege on Sunday morning and other times, hopefully, to help train these young people for the glory of God. So in this, what I want to do is I want to show you, first of all, and just say to you that the parents of Moses set a good example for Moses to follow. Not only did they walk by faith, but this man also, their son, walked by faith. He was a great man of faith. So I want to show you, we're going to skip to a few verses of Scripture in the book of Acts. I want you to turn there first, the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. And I want to just skip to you and skip through and show you a few things that'll help us look at our responsibility. In the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and let me see, I want to read verse 30, starting at verse number 29. Says, and he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Notice again, he says he and all his. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The Philippian jailer is one of these great examples of a man who understood the responsibility of a parent. He understood not only was it good for him to get saved, but his whole house to get saved. And if you'll notice here, he brought Paul and Silas back to his house, the word of God was preached, and the whole house was saved. Let me say to you, it wasn't just because he got saved, that meant the kids were saved. No, it meant during that time he got saved, but they also expressed faith and put faith in Jesus Christ. So what I'm simply saying in this is this. I think throughout the Scripture, we as God's people, we as parents can understand we have a responsibility to spiritually teach and lead our children to the Lord. We have that responsibility. That's who God puts it on. Too much have we put the responsibility on the church. It's like I said to you, and we'll talk about that later. We have them for an hour, maybe 2 hours. There is no way in the world the church can do everything that needs to be done in a young person's life. If that's all the training they're going to get, it's not going to be enough. Now, it's going to help. It's going to be a blessing. But God puts it on the parents. So I'm saying to you here, this man understood that he needed to spiritually teach his children and his household. Okay? Now, I'm not going to turn there, but in Psalms 127th Psalm, he calls children a heritage of the Lord. In other words, they're given unto us as a heritage, as an inheritance that God gives us to, as we said earlier, raise for Him. They are going to grow up. They are going to move out of your house. And you and I's responsible to train them because God gave them to us. What a blessing they are. What a great gift it is that God gave. Now, also then, in Joshua, the 24th chapter, we're not going to turn over there either. You're familiar with the statement that Joshua made. Joshua, the father, the leader of his house, so said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's something there has to be a determined effort, determined decision to say. We are going to lead our children in the ways of the Lord, or it won't get done. There has to be a determined decision and an effort put into it that we are going to train our children in the ways of the Lord. So it would be great this morning if you'd say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not only that, over in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, you will find once again God talking about the Word of God, that we are told as parents to diligently teach the Word of God to their children. He says, you do it when you talk with them. You do it when you sit with them. You do it when you lieth down of a night. And you do it when you raise up of a morning. In other words, what God is saying to us is, it's something that we must take upon our shoulders to teach to our children the Word of God. Correct? Deuteronomy 6, read it. Amen? Now, folks, I know we don't like all of this responsibility put here. I mean, I understand that, because that really puts the responsibility there. But listen to me. It's not the preacher putting it there. It's God Almighty putting it there. You understand? God is putting that responsibility on you and on me. Now, over in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, he tells us to train up a child in the way which he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, you and I understand that that's, again, you've heard that verse of Scripture many, many times. Amen? And what God is telling us to train is not something that is just telling. It's something that is instructions through example, instructions through showing. It's not just saying, do this. It's an instruction given to them and training and example given to them. And in fact, we as parents are responsible to give them an education. We as parents are responsible to see to it that they act right. Teach them how to act. Teach them how to behave. Isn't that we parents' responsibility to do that? That happens from the time they're a little baby on up through. We have to train and teach them certain areas of life. We also then have to give them knowledge. Many times we give that knowledge. We'll do it ourselves somewhat, but a lot of times we'll send them to school where they learn knowledge that they'll need for life. But let us never forget the third part. We also must teach them and train them spiritually. They must. That is part of their training. Training them up, they must be taught spiritually the things that they need to know concerning their spiritual life. Now, another thing we do, not only do we give them an education, we set an example before them. One of the greatest educations is watching someone else do something. And we as parents are to set an example before our children. Set that example. Now, someone's going to say, Brother Ross, we sure goof at times. I know you will, and I know I will. But let's set the example, what is proper and right, before them. And even when we don't always do it right, what a great opportunity to be able to say to our children, you know, in that area, I didn't do very good, or I should have done better, I should have done this, and I need to change that. But I'm simply saying we set an example before our children. Not only that, then, also, not only the education, not only the example, but also discipline is involved in rearing children. Now, let me say something to you. Discipline ought to do this. It ought to say doing right is pleasant. Doing wrong is not pleasant. That's what discipline is to teach our children. You know, if I do right in life, pleasant things can come to my life. If I do wrong, unpleasant things are going to come. If a person goes out and robs a grocery store, something very unpleasant is going to happen. He's going to be arrested and more than likely put in jail. Unpleasant. Now, if a child does something, if a child says something they ought to say, and they're behaving in such a way they ought not to be behaving, don't you think some discipline would help them understand that doing what they have done has brought something displeasant to them? And they ought to know that doing wrong costs. So what I'm simply saying to you, isn't it right, isn't it proper that we put discipline, as God tells us to, In our children's life, doing wrong cost. Doing right is a pleasure, is a blessing. Amen? So I'm saying to you, if we're going to cause our children to grow up, to serve God, and to be the kind of person they ought to be, we're going to have to put this education in them. We're going to have to set an example before them. We're going to have to put discipline in their life, you see. Now, we've got to stop and consider what we're doing. Listen to me a moment. We send children to school 5 days a week. We send them to church 1 day a week, basically. I'm talking about Sunday school, church. I realize we've got children in children's church, or excuse me, in our Christian school. That makes a difference. They're getting the teachings of the Word of God every day. But basically, we send our children, let's say public school, we send our children out there 5 days a week. We send them to church one day a week, and for when we say one day a week, it's usually for an hour or 2 hours. Maybe 2.5 hours, 2 hours and about 15 minutes if you stay for Sunday school and church. That's what you've got. Amen? Now, without teaching at home, that's never going to be balanced. Thank God that we can do this on Sunday. But it's not going to be balanced if we allow only that time when they get anything from God's Word. It's not going to be balanced. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, and we as parents are responsible to balance that. We're responsible to teach the Word of God to them. As he said in Deuteronomy 6, stop and consider what teaching your children are getting and where they're getting it. Amen? Now, our children are going to have to grow up and make choices. They're going to have to come to a place in their life where no longer is mom and dad making the choices and the decisions of life. Correct? Just like Moses, if you look here in verse 23, he said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses came to the place when he was old enough, he came to that place where he had to make certain choices himself. Let me say something to you. Your children also are going to grow up, and they must be prepared to make the proper choices. Let me show you over in 1 John. First John, the Epistle of John, the second chapter, 15th verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A portion of Scripture here, three verses that are so important. Tremendous verses of Scripture that is instructing us that we are not to love the world. Now, folks, listen. Our children are going to have to be prepared to make a choice. When they get out from underneath us, they're going to have to make a choice what direction they're going in life. Now, are they going to love the world? Well, the Bible says if they love the world, neither the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, the Bible said that. Preacher didn't preach that, didn't say that, didn't make it up. What I'm saying is we have to prepare our children to stand against the world and stand for God and choose to walk with God rather than to choose walking with the world. Now, we're going to be much in preparation, in our preparation for our children to do that. They need to be prepared. Now, over in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse is this: and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, once again, God is telling us we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. When your children leave your home, they're going to have to be prepared to make this choice and not fellowship with darkness, not fellowship with worldliness. Look down in verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, they need to be prepared to not walk like a fool walks, but as a wise man walks. And he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, our children needs to be taught and brought up to a time where they understand this is the will of God. This is the direction I need to go. Now, isn't that what Moses did when he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter or son? The son of Pharaoh's daughter? Isn't this what he did? Sure he did. He made a choice. He said, I'll choose affliction over that. Now, what is your children and my children going to do when they come to life and they get out in life? What direction are they going to go? They need to be taught by you and I. They need to be prepared the very best we can prepare them for making the proper choices. Look over in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Second Corinthians 6th chapter, 14th verse. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you notice what he says is this, they're going to have to make choices on whom they're going to yoke up with for life. Not to be unequally yoked together. A Christian should not marry an unchristian, non-Christian. Now he said, you know, your children are going to have to be prepared to face that and make that choice. And be so ingrained in them that they'll not do anything else. And why? They're going to have to choose also in verse 17 to learn to come out from the world and be separate from the world. That's not a popular thing in today's world. But the Word of God says that's what we are to do. And I'm not going to turn over there, but he says we've got to learn even to the point of whether it affects the relationships, of family relationships or not. If we're going to be Christ's disciple, we're going to have to decide, put these other things behind, and we're going to walk with God for all of our life. Now, I'm just simply saying to you folks, young people has got to be prepared to make those decisions. You can't raise them worldly and let them do everything under the sun worldly and never have them in church and never be taught the things of God and never teach them the principles at home and expect them to grow up and make the right decisions. They will not do it, you see. They must be taught. They must be ready to reject worldliness. I mean, they're going to have to make the choice of their life. They're going to have to make the choice. Are they going to want the applause of God more than they want the applause and honors of men? What is going to be important to your children? Are you going to teach them to go out here and look for the applause of men? Or the applause of God Almighty saying, you're doing right? And our children are going to have to be prepared to make those tough decisions because they're tough decisions. Back in Hebrews, our text, verse 24, he says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Did you notice where it says choosing? Now, folks, your child and my child is going to choose. We are going to choose what direction we go in life. Now, if you'll notice, Moses was so prepared in life, when it come to that choice, he says, I'll choose affliction. I'll choose affliction. And you've got to understand, Moses was in royalty there in the house of Pharaoh. I mean, he lived in class. But he says, I'll choose affliction. Notice also, he looked to the future. He was more worried about the future than he was the present. Look at verse number 26. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, he knew the reproach of Christ was going to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, the treasures of Egypt he could have had right then and did have them. But he said, I'd rather have the affliction that goes along with choosing Christ. Because down the road, what's going to mean in eternity is going to be more important than all these riches that Egypt has.
Right.
Now, is your children and my children, are they prepared to make those tough decisions? And you know that Egypt, if you know anything about your Bible, you know that Egypt is a type of the world. So what it's basically saying is, the riches of this world is not going to be first place in my life. No, what Christ is going to be the first place in my life. Even though it brings affliction upon my life. So, are we going to be prepared to make those decisions? Is our young people, those children that came down this aisle, are they going to be prepared to make and choose affliction and look to the future, what's going to happen down the road and into eternity? Are they going to be ready to make those choices? We need to do everything we can to prepare them to make those choices. You see, Revelation 3, but I'm not going to turn there, but you know where it talks about the lukewarmness. I would rather you be cold or hot than lukewarm. Amen. What kind of young people are we raising? Are we raising a bunch of lukewarm Christians? God said, spew them out of his mouth. He wants people who are on fire for God. That doesn't mean you're running around jumping up. Again, Moses made a choice. He decided. Now, these things in the scripture here that happened to Moses, of course, you know and I know that God allowed them. But this choice that he made, now remember something, the choice he made cost him his inheritance in this world. I mean, it broke him. He made that choice for God instead of this world. Now, he had a lot to learn. God had a lot to teach him. And what he was doing was training Moses for the future. You know the story of Moses where that he came out one day and there was a Egyptian and a Hebrew that was fighting, and Moses took the side of the Hebrew and he smote the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. Next day he came back out thinking the brethren would be glad for him that he had done this thing. And that day there was two Hebrews fighting. And so he began to chide them about the fact that they was fighting each other and all of this. And that one pushed him aside and simply said unto him, who are you? You a judge amongst us? Are you going to slay me like you slayed the Egyptian? And all at once he understood and knew that this thing was no one. He didn't know it was no one. And he fled to the backside of the desert. Now, God had some training for Moses. 40 years of it. What I'm saying to you folks is, your children are not going to be completely trained when they leave your nest. But they ought to be trained to the place where they'll make the proper choices. God is never going to quit training them. Is any of you out here testified you've arrived? I sure can't. Seems like I've been in school all of my Christian life, and I imagine I'll remain there. God never gets done training. Never does. But what I'm saying is, we've got to do everything we can to bring them to the place where they make the proper choices in life. And then God will do the training. See, what Moses had to do is he had to learn that He was going to have to die to self. He hadn't done that yet. Now, the timing was all off. Moses didn't have the timing down. God had the proper timing. 40 years off. He went out to try to deliver his brethren there, and that was 40 years when he was really going to deliver his brethren. So God had a lot to train Moses with, and in 40 years he trained him, got him ready for the job he wanted him to do. It took 40 years. You say, well, I'll train for 40 years. Whole different situation. He lived 120 years old. How many of you going to live 120 years old? I don't know of anybody that God is going to let live 120 years old. Most people don't start their ministries at 80 years old. Moses did. But what I'm saying is, anytime you do start your ministry, God has much training to get you prepared for it. Much training. He has to do much in your life and in my life to get us ready for that which he's going to have us to do. Now, Moses was going to face the murmuring of his own people. Even his own family. You remember when Aaron murmured against him and Miriam murmured against him? Now listen to me. He was going to face that own family. Not only that, his own people was going to murmur against Moses. Amen? You know what? He needed 40 years of training to prepare for that. Moses, when he was at the age there coming out 40 years before that, if he had led those people out of Egypt and then people started murmuring, he wouldn't have been ready. He'd have probably threw his hands up and give up. But 40 years later, God had him ready to face that. He taught him something. He taught him that they wasn't murmuring against him. They was murmuring against God. And because of that, Moses could go on and accept that, you see. Moses had come to that place where he was willing to give his body as a living sacrifice to God, and whatever God wanted to do, it was all right in his life. In other words, we need to learn to die to self and live to God. Folks, you need to train your children to die to self. That's hard for young people to do. It's hard for adults to do. But it's hard especially for young people to do. They have to be taught that. That they need to die to their own self-ambitions and live to God's will for their life. That goes against the grain, doesn't it? But that's exactly what God wants in every individual. That's what he wants in these children that marched here through here this morning. He doesn't want them wanting their will for their life, but God's will for their life. And sometimes to get that job done, God has to seemingly take us backwards. Sometimes through great disappointments. Let me ask you what you think Moses thought about when he came out there, slew that Egyptian, buried it, and all at once his brethren stood against him and he fled. You want to tell me that man was not a disappointed man? You want to tell me when he headed for the backside of the desert, he probably thought my life is never going to be what it ought to be? You talk about disappointment. And I don't know how long he stayed in disappointment, but I know this. There was a time when he wondered, what in the world am I doing back here on the backside of the desert? Well, God put him on the backside of the desert to get him ready for a ministry. And many times God takes us through disappointments, hard times, and even seemingly goes backwards times to get us prepared for the future and what God is going to use us for. And so there's a lot of preparation work in getting us ready for the ministry that God has for us. God wants us to come to that place where we're just willing to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. He wants you and me, and he wants your children to simply go through life just trusting in God. Not leaning to your own understanding because you and I can't understand, but just trusting God no matter what. You want to know why Moses failed when he first tried to deliver the children of Israel through delivering that one Jew? One of the things was this. He was working out of human pity instead of the will of God. Folks, listen to me. There's all kinds of stories out there. There's all kinds of needs out there. Need does not constitute call. There is all kinds of sorrowful stories out there. And yes, they touch our heart. But if you work only out of human sympathy, you're going to be in trouble. You need to work out of what is the will of God? And Moses did not do that at that time. He was not doing the will of God. He was working off of human sympathy. Another thing was he was premature in his action. I think I touched upon that. But he wasn't ready to lead Israel, and neither was the Israelites ready to be led. I've seen when I was in night school in college up at IBC, I remember there was a fellow there who said, "Well, I tell you what, I just can't wait. I can't hang around here and get trained." And he said, "I got to get out there and get busy right now into the ministry." So he quit school and went out and went into the ministry. And he just about flunked it all. No, you stay and you get prepared. You get ready when it's God's time. He'll take care of you. You get prepared, ready to go into the ministry. Now, when I'm talking about ministry, folks, I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm just not talking about missions. I'm talking about whatever it is God has for you, let Him prepare you. Whatever it is, let Him prepare you and get you ready. Another thing was this. He was working out of human strength instead of God's strength. You know, I never thought too much about it until I got to reading about this on Moses. You know, I don't know a whole lot about Moses, but when I think of Moses, I think of an older fellow standing, you know, and kind of, and he's a meek man, and meek is not weak, not scripturally, but I ain't going to go into that. But anyway, he was, you know, but earlier in his life, he must have been a tough guy. He went out there and killed that Egyptian, buried him in sand. I mean, he was not some weak person. And he was working, though, out of his own strength instead of God's strength. So Moses need to be taught that. You and I and our children need to be taught we need to work out of the strength of God, not our own strength. Amen? And not only that, the Bible tells us when he was ready to kill that Egyptian, he looked around to see if anybody was there. Moses was worrying what other folk thought. You can't worry about what other folk will think in the work of God. You can't worry about that. That cannot be your concern. You must know and determine what God says and do it. Later on, when Moses went into the ministry God wanted him to go into, leading the people of Egypt out, he knew that God wanted him to do. He was no longer working in his own strength. He was working in the strength of God to get that done. Now, God allowed all these things to happen to him, to bring him where he wanted him. I want you to listen very closely just for a moment here about where God brought Moses. Moses was in the court of Pharaoh as a potential king. When he ended up, he was on the backside of the desert keeping sheep as a shepherd. Now listen, the Egyptians said that a shepherd is an abomination. They looked at a shepherd, a keeper of a sheep, as an abomination. Here's Moses, high class, potential king, ended up shepherd in the eyes of an Egyptian, an abomination. Say, what's that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It means that we're going to have to come down off our high horse. And we're going to have to humble ourselves before God Almighty, before God can use us like He wants to. We're going to have to get down here where the world will think of us as an abomination. But God will think of us as servants of God. And that's where God brought Moses. Clear up here, clear down here. And then he was ready to do the job that God wanted him to do. What Moses basically learned was this. He learned the lesson of dependence rather than independence. Moses learned that God was in control and he was going to have to completely, fully depend on God Almighty, not on man. And let me say to you, that's one of the hardest lessons for us to learn. We've got that pride in us that we can just do it. Now we'll get the job done. God won't use you that way like He wants to use you until you learn you can't get the job done without Him. And you need to learn, and I need to learn in our daily life, we need to learn to be humbled before God Almighty. These children that come down through here, they've got a spirit of pride in them. Every child does. Every child does. And that spirit of pride has to be dealt with. And we've got to teach them. They've got to depend on God, not on self. How many times have you ever heard a missionary, if you've been around where missionaries have surrendered to preach or go to the mission field, how many times have you ever heard them say, I surrender to the Lord to go to China or wherever it might be? You know what they're saying? I've learned that it's not my will that counts, but it's God's. And I'm surrendering myself to the will of the Lord. That's what I want for these precious children that walk down this aisle. Say, Brother Ross, will all of them go to China? I don't think so. Will all of them be preachers? I don't think so. Will all of them be missionaries? No, I don't think so. But hopefully every one of them will be a Christian, dedicated to the service of God no matter where it's at. Amen? Maybe it'll be in a local church, being a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it'll be in a local church, being an usher. Amen. Maybe be in a local church, playing the piano, singing, leading singing. You see, all kinds of things, whatever it might be, but just simply dedicated to the will of God for their life. That's my desire for them. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Commit yourself, submit yourself, therefore, to God. That's what I want for these young people. That's what I want for you. And then also we find that after 40 years of training, Moses had grew. He'd went to the University of Egypt, upper class, went through the private university of the backside of the desert. And if you find him in chapter 3 on book of Exodus, verse 1, you know where you find him? On the Mount of God, standing before the burning bush. Now he'd already went to these other universities, and God took him through all of that to help him to stand before God. You see, 40 years Moses learned to rely on God Almighty. And what I want for God's people, I want for you, I want for your children, is when they grow and when they learn and they come to the place where one of these days they'll step out from underneath your leadership, they'll be able to make the proper choices and say, I'm going to serve God no matter what capacity that is. I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Isn't that what you want for them? I mean, don't you want that for them? I really believe you do. Now, listen to me. First of all, before they can do any of that, they've got to be saved. They've got to be born again. They've got to come to the place where they realize they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's true with me and you. We can never do what God wants us to do until we come to know Christ, first of all, as our personal Savior. So our prayer should be for these young children that they come to the place where they put their faith and trust in Christ, and then they make the proper choices in life so that they'll walk with God for the rest of their life. And I say to you, you and I is going to have to train them and get them prepared to make those proper choices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. I thank you so much, Father, for those sweet, precious young people that we've seen walk through this church this morning. Thank you so much for them. And, Father, it's our deepest desire that every single one of them come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And then that every one of them will serve you, Father, will walk with you throughout the rest of their life. And, Lord, we pray for that. And I pray for parents this morning to help them as they train their children in the ways of the Lord. And Father, help them to bring them to the places where when they do go, one of these days, they'll make the proper choices of life. And those choices will be to walk with God throughout the rest of their life. Thank you. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.